Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Green Score, the sustainability podcast that asks what we can do as individuals to make changes in what we use or how we use it to play our part in the fight against climate change. Now, to do this, every episode, we're going to focus on one commonly used household product and look at how they're produced, used, and recycled, and how we can replace them with more sustainable options. So today, we're talking about tooth care, not very glamorous, but very important tooth care. Now, especially with a focus on toothbrushes here, but also going to touch on floss and toothpaste as well. Now, interestingly, my dad was here at the weekend, Taylor, and he said to me, your toothbrushes are always completely screwed up. You know, when you use them too much and the bristles are all over the place. And I was like, Dad, I know it's bad for my teeth, but it's because I don't want to throw them away because I feel terrible about where they might go. So it got me thinking about this kind of topic already. Now, what about you? What's your kind of tooth care regime? Do you keep your toothbrushes until there's like nothing left? Are you a regular reuser?
I'd say I'm definitely on more of the throwaway side than you are, Jake. I do try to replace my toothbrushes. I'd say not every 3 months like they say you should, but definitely no longer than 6 months. And I actually, like, one of my recurring nightmares is my teeth falling out. So I'm like super paranoid about tooth care. So, you know, I always brush morning and evening. I always floss in the evening. Really don't want those teeth falling out. It's terrifying.
Well, your teeth look very white. You've got very good teeth.
Thank you.
Excellent teeth. I don't like flossing. I find it really uncomfortable. Also, it's really awkward as well. So, but every time I go to the dentist, he said, do you floss? And I just say yes, but he knows I don't. But, you know, we have this game.
Jake, such a liar.
I know. I'm a terrible person. But I'm kind of really super excited to, I mean, this is something obviously we use every single day. So I think this is going to be a really, really interesting one. So Taylor, Taylor's going to talk us through it today. Who knew, Taylor, that you'd be so passionate about tooth care? So what is the size of the industry? How many toothbrushes are there in the world?
Basically, there's a lot. As you have said, this is something we use every day. Don't really think about it much, but it's a crucial part of our health, really. So the National Geographic has actually estimated that the average person in a developed country will use around 300 toothbrushes over the course of their entire lifetime. So if you multiply that across the billions of people that are on planet Earth, that is so many toothbrushes. And we're gonna see why that's a problem going forward and why that can cause a problem for landfilling.
That is a lot of toothbrushes. That's a lot. Okay. Well, what are they made of? I mean, I was actually looking at my toothbrush before, kind of, you know, looking really close, you know, what is this? What are those bristles made of? I mean, it's really confusing, but what are the toothbrushes made of, but also floss and toothpaste?
Yeah. I mean, it's not obvious, right? There's not a lot of labeling on your tooth care products about what exactly is in it. So for a toothbrush specifically, the bristles, the part you're actually brushing your teeth with, that's usually made from nylon. And that's a type of synthetic fiber, a type of plastic. So basically how they do this is they melt these nylon plastic chips and they draw them through something called a spinneret, wow. Which is basically a wheel with really tiny holes in it. And then they draw it at different speeds to get those really thin fibers that they would use for your toothbrush. Now, the handle is made from something different. So the handle, the part you're holding onto, that's usually made from polypropylene, which is code 5, if you're looking at like your common yogurt containers or things like that. It might also be made from polyethylene, which is code 2. And this is made by basically just heating the plastic, sticking it in a mold until it forms the shape that you want. And I should mention there is a reason that we're using plastic for this. So back in the day, back in like before the 1920s, roughly, a lot of toothbrushes were made from like bone handles and boar bristles, which just sounds kind of gross to me.
Bone handles.
But, yeah.
Sounds like something from the Vikings or something.
Exactly. Mm. But B, it was also really expensive, which meant that only 1 in 4 people in the United States owned a toothbrush before the 1920s. So the plastic has made things much more hygienic and much cheaper so that more people can use toothbrushes. So there's kind of a, that's one of the benefits.
It's democracy. It's democratizing the access to toothbrush health.
Exactly. So no one's teeth have to fall out in their nightmares or in real life.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay. So that's toothbrushes, but also actually what is, I'm guessing is floss something quite similar?
Yeah, actually floss is also made of plastic, typically, usually made from nylon. So that same fiber that's used for the toothbrush bristles, and it can have a, like a light wax coating to make it easier to slide between your teeth. They do sometimes also make floss out of Teflon or PTFE. That's like the same stuff as Gore-Tex, so your waterproof jacket. And this is usually stronger and it's often used for the dental tape, so the stuff that's a little bit thicker, but for the most part it's made from nylon.
Nylon, that's mental. I got it. Also Teflon, that makes me think of like a wall. Wow, in your mouth. That's absolutely mental. Okay. What about toothpaste? Also, actually, what about the container? I've always wondered this because it's often not very clear if it's recyclable, which is one of, you know, kind of the thing we keep coming across, how poor recycling labels are. But what is also the container and actually the toothpaste itself made of?
I'm really glad you mentioned the not being sure whether toothbrush tubes are recyclable, because for the most part they are not. So they're actually made with a combination of polyethylene and aluminum. That's why they're usually shiny. And because it's a combination of those materials, there's no market for it. There's no way to separate out those materials and make pure streams. This is kind of similar to what we saw with wrapping paper. So like the sparkly bits on wrapping paper are usually polyethylene mixed with aluminum. And that's what makes it not recyclable. And the last thing is the cap. That's made from a different type of plastic. So that's made from polypropylene. So you have at least three materials going into your toothpaste tube.
Okay, so definitely not recyclable.
Yes, exactly.
Damn it. Okay, all right. What about the actual toothpaste? I mean, well, what's in there?
This was something I was curious about. I actually had no idea what was in toothpaste, even though I used it every day. So it's mostly a combination of water and abrasives. So these are like insoluble particles that help to actually remove stuff from your teeth. It's things like calcium carbonate or sodium bicarbonate, sometimes different silicas. In the past, this might have also included plastic microbeads, but those are no longer allowed to be in toothpaste, which is good, helping to solve the microplastics issue. And then you also have fluoride, which helps to combat tooth decay, and surfactants. So this is like the thing that makes the toothpaste foam in your mouth, basically. Interestingly, this is also the part that makes things taste weird after you brush your teeth. So it's this surfactant, this sodium lauryl sulfate, that basically makes things taste like bitter or unpleasant, depending on what you're having after you brush your teeth.
Yeah, I hate that taste. That's what they have, like mint, isn't it? Okay, that's that's interesting. I didn't realize it added something that actually made it like foam up. That's quite fun, actually. That's really interesting. Okay, so just to recap, so basically toothbrushes, well, normal toothbrush, not very recyclable by the sound of things. Well, I know we're going to come on to that, but basically lots of plastic in there, lots of nylon, synthetics, and also lots of like mixtures of plastics, metals, etc.
Okay. Exactly.
Not ideal. Okay, cool. So what is the what's the environmental impact of particularly toothbrushes, if we start with that?
Yeah, there are kind of two aspects of the environmental impact I want to touch on. The first is the impact of actually making all of those materials. So to make polypropylene, so that's the main material in your toothbrush handle, that uses about, it releases about 2.7 kilos of carbon dioxide per kilogram of polypropylene. And if we kind of assume what the average toothbrush weighs, it's around 20 grams, and that we make about 3.5 billion toothbrushes per year, that comes out to emissions of around 200 million kilograms of carbon dioxide per year, which is 0.4% of global greenhouse gas emissions in 2019. So just from making toothbrushes.
That is high.
We're already hitting almost 0.5% of global greenhouse gas emissions from this one product.
And I think maybe just to add to that, that not everyone uses toothbrushes, right? It's obviously probably a relatively wealthy, it's not going to be used by a lot of countries right now, just due to poverty.
Or at least not used like you wouldn't necessarily replace it as frequently as we would here. So this is kind of another example of where wealthier countries are producing more than their fair share of materials and greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah. Just imagine when, you know, kind of, but when the wealth is increased in different areas, imagine how much that could go up. Like everything that we've analyzed, like that's only going to increase, isn't it? Which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah. And I'd say kind of the other thing about production. So I mentioned you need nylon to make the bristles as well as to make floss. Also, nylon is used in tons of clothing. So it's not exclusive to just tooth care. But when you produce nylon, they generate nitrous oxide, which is a greenhouse gas that's about 300 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So that's also, it's important to remember, it's not just carbon dioxide emissions, it's these other emissions that are also being generated during the process.
That is a big carbon footprint. So basically making the handle basically is releasing a huge amount of CO2, but even worse, well, not maybe even worse, but just as bad as then the nylon is producing loads of nitrous oxide, which 310 times more potent than CO2. That is a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What about kind of they're recyclable or?
So exactly. We've kind of touched on this already. For the most part, nothing is recyclable when it comes to tooth care. As I've mentioned, toothbrushes, toothpaste tubes, floss, most of these have mixed materials in them, different types of plastic, maybe aluminum or wax in there. And anytime you have mixed materials, it's usually not recyclable. So this means that those millions of toothbrushes being used every year are just going to landfill. And I did kind of come up with some interesting statistics on this. Basically, if you laid out all of the toothbrushes thrown away in the United States each year, that's estimated around 1 billion toothbrushes. They would wrap around the earth four times. And similarly, UK residents use about 300 million tubes of toothpaste each year. Again, spread end to end, that's enough to circle the world twice. So it's honestly a huge amount of material when you think about it. And there's the added issue of, because a lot of these items are relatively small, so floss, for example, tiny, like really thin, tiny amounts of plastic, they can end up being mismanaged, so leaking out of your waste streams and stuff and end up in the oceans, which contributes to pollution.
So like microplastics and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. So all going to trash, some of it will undoubtedly also end up in the environment.
Those are crazy. So that's four times around the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's just American toothbrushes.
Yes.
And if you just take the UK toothpaste, whatever you call them, toothpaste holders, that's twice.
Yes.
Mental. This is a side question. If you take the toothpaste holders, why do they use so much mixed? Why is everything mixed in?
This actually comes down similar to what we saw with the wrapping paper. It's aesthetically pleasing, right? It looks nice on a shelf to have these shiny toothpaste tubes. And for a long time, that was kind of the main focus. It was on selling things. It was not necessarily about thinking what happens to them at the end of their life cycles. That's really only something that has come to prominence recently. So I'd say it's been more of a like a market and an economic driver that has caused people to use these mixtures of materials.
Yeah, but particularly with the toothpaste holders, sorry, not toothpaste holders. I'm using the wrong thing, aren't I? Kind of
tubes.
Toothpaste tubes, that's it. I generally thought, I don't know why, but I thought they were recyclable. That's okay. So that's crazy. Okay. That's just so much. So basically, nothing is really recyclable. Is that in the kind of tooth care area, everything is single, in inverted commas, single use.
Much. But there is hope.
There is hope. Okay. This is the whole reason we do the podcast, is a lot of what we do try and pick topics where there's a sustainable option. Obviously, it would be quite a short and boring podcast. So Taylor, give me the hope. What are the more sustainable options?
Okay, let's start with toothbrushes.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna try to list specific companies too much here, because there are a lot of them out there. Don't want to necessarily make endorsements, but there's a few options you can go when it comes to more sustainable toothbrushes. The first one is bamboo toothbrushes. I actually have a bamboo toothbrush, which is part of why I wanted to do this podcast, to find out whether I made the right choice in buying that. But basically, the good thing about bamboo is that by growing it, the plant is using carbon dioxide, so that when it eventually decays, the same amount of carbon dioxide is coming out. So it's completely carbon neutral for the most part. And the carbon footprint of processing the bamboo, so actually like turning it into your toothbrush handle, that's significantly lower than for plastic. So we're talking about 0.07 kilograms of carbon dioxide per kilogram of bamboo. Compare that to the 2.7 for polypropylene. So quite a significant difference there. And the great thing about this is you can actually just decompose your bamboo toothbrushes. So if you send it to an industrial composting facility, that'll take a matter of weeks to decompose. But because it's a completely natural material, you can also just stick it in your home compost or bury it in your background. And it's going to take somewhere between 4 months and 3 years to decompose and use those nutrients for the soil. One note here is that most toothbrushes, bamboo included, still use the nylon bristles, just because those are still the most hygienic, honestly. Right. So you'll need to make sure to break off the top part of your toothbrush and throw the nylon part away before you compost the remainder.
What happens if you put, having taken the nylon brushes out, what happens if you put your bamboo toothbrush into your normal trash and it goes to a landfill? Will it decompose there, or does it have to be in certain conditions? Or
it will still decompose, but it usually takes longer, just because landfills are a kind of weird environment where you have like these huge mounds of material that often basically prevent oxygen from reaching deeper into the landfill, and you need that oxygen to help break down your like natural materials. So it'll still decompose faster than plastic, which is going to take hundreds of years, but it's better to try to stick it in like your green bin or put it. I've actually buried mine in the backyard.
Amazing. You know, whoever moves into your house, they're going to kind of find some suspicious stuff in the garden. They're going to be like, oh my God,
what
did Taylor do? And then they'll see you just murdered lots of toothbrushes.
Yeah,
just loads. And you can just bury them and it will. So you said up to four months to 3 years, right? Something like that.
Yeah. So if you're in a, like your home compost where you're actually like, you know, turning your compost and you have your different fruit peels and stuff like that, that's faster. So it's 4 to 6 months on average. If you're just burying it in your background because you don't have as much care going into it, that's where it could take up to 3 years.
Got you. Just thinking, I mean, what about where the bamboo comes from? So I have no idea where bamboo is grown. I've only ever seen it in Asia. Is it commercially farmed? Does it come from sustainable sources? I mean,
super important question. You always need to think about the sourcing of your materials. Mm-hmm. Most bamboo is farmed in Asia, although it grows really well in California as well.
Who'd have known? Who'd have thought?
Exactly. So it is important to try to choose companies that specify that their bamboo is coming from like efficient bamboo farming sources. You don't want it to be conflicting with animals like pandas who need to eat it. But there are a lot of companies that are really focusing on growing bamboo in as efficient a manner as possible. And transportation can be an issue because you have to transport the bamboo from Asia to your final markets. But for me, I think it's still better because a lot of plastic is also being produced in Asia. So, you know, the transportation, at least right now, is not as much of a concern, I think, as the actual production of the material.
Oh, yeah. Just on that point about making sure that it comes from a sustainable or an ethical source, I mean, how do you... where would you even start with that? If you're looking at a make of bamboo toothbrush, how would you even begin to look into that?
So the good thing is there are stamps that companies can have that verify that it is ethically sourced. Ethically, that was difficult to say for
some reason. It's been a long day.
Exactly. So the ones that have sustainable bamboo farming, those should be labeled. And you should be able to see that. If it's not on the packaging, then I'd be a bit more suspicious.
Right. Okay, cool. And then the other thing I was interested about the biodegradable side, and I think you've already answered the question, but I had an interesting debate on LinkedIn, actually. I put a post up about kind of our coffee shop episode, not coffee cup episode that we did with Husky Cup, and about biodegradable coffee cups and how they aren't good because they usually don't biodegrade. And from what I understood, there's a mixture of materials. Now, can you just, I know this is slightly off topic, but if we just take a biodegradable coffee cup and you just said a biodegradable toothbrush is a good thing, what's the difference?
Okay, so the difference is that most biodegradable coffee cups are not actually made directly from natural materials. Often they are made from something like polylactic acid or PLA, which is a polymer that is made from biomaterials. So you like take your corn, you turn it into certain chemicals that you then polymerize into your final material. Whereas with bamboo, you are using that bamboo directly rather than going through this intermediate step. So that means that bamboo will maintain its natural biodegradable properties, whereas something like PLA, you usually need specific conditions to break it down. So PLA, you almost always have to send it to an industrial composting facility, which will have specific temperatures and pressures that it uses to break down that material. So I'd say that is really the key difference. And you can find PLA toothbrushes. And this is where I personally would advise you to steer away from anything that says it's biodegradable but is not bamboo, because most likely it's actually these materials made through multiple steps that might need more specific disposal options.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, and something that I've learned in the last year or so since we started the podcast was about, I thought biodegradable, great, massive tick, but what I've learned and what you've obviously taught me is it's actually need to look beyond that and see what is the material it's actually made of and how are you going to get it to the right place that it can biodegrade, right? So
yeah, because there's different levels of biodegradable, basically.
Yeah, that's a really interesting side point. Okay, just as a side point, obviously, a lot of this, what we're talking about is manual toothbrushes. I mean, electric toothbrushes, obviously, are very popular. I have one, actually, the one that I refuse to change the head on. I mean, is there any way? I mean, that doesn't seem like there's any way around that to me, because it's all plastic and obviously the nylon. I mean, are there any options there or?
So I actually wanted to say that anything with a removable head, so like your electric toothbrush, or they have disposable ones as well, where you just have like the handle and then you just pop the little nylon bristles off and throw that part away.
Yeah.
Honestly, that can be a good option as well, because over time you are throwing less material away because you're not throwing the entire toothbrush. It's just that top part. So good job, Jake. That's a step in the right direction. Well done.
My nylon brushes are facing outwards rather than upwards, so it's not a pretty sight.
Maybe it's time to change your toothbrush. But I did actually find a really interesting study from University College London in the UK, and they looked at different types of toothbrushes and their environmental impacts. And in general, electric toothbrushes will have a higher environmental impact than manual ones, mostly because of the extra materials. So you have your battery in there, you have electronics. It's also heavier, so transportation will cause more emissions as well. But obviously, this depends on how long you're using your electric toothbrush. I think they just looked at 5 years. So if you're using it for longer than that, this will change. But that is something to consider as well, whether you actually need an electronic toothbrush for health reasons, or whether maybe that's something you don't necessarily need right now.
Yeah, that is a really good point. And actually, is there any Is there any, because we, a lot of these products we've looked at, which I think is awesome, is a lot more kind of circular economy, you know, kind of rental models or returnable models where companies will take their products back. We've seen that with trainers. We've seen that obviously with Mud Jeans, which is great. I start to see it for other products too. Is there any schemes like that available for toothbrushes? I mean, it seems like, I hope there is one because we use so many of them. It does that exist?
There's starting to be. I think there are some issues around this because it is a health product, so you're not necessarily going to want to reuse someone else's toothbrush.
Yeah.
But Colgate, for example, they have partnered with TerraCycle to basically collect any toothbrushes, any toothpaste tubes, any of those, you know, those like little individual flosser things.
Yeah.
They will collect those and they will recycle it. And the way they're able to do that is because they have this really, they really specify which materials they will take, and therefore they have a pretty pure stream. Mm-hmm. They're then able to turn it back into pellets that they use for all sorts of things like furniture or decking. So it's not necessarily going back into the exact same products, but it is a step in that direction. And you can find, if you Google TerraCycle Colgate, there will be a list of places where you can drop off your old tooth care items. And that can be a good option. It's not the easiest, it's not the most convenient for many of us, but things are starting to move in that direction, which I think is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's something, isn't it? I mean, obviously you want a circular, but a longer linear is better than a short linear option, isn't it? But
yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. What about kind of floss and tooth tubes? I've got to get this right. toothpaste tubes. Yeah, tooth tubes. I'm just making up new terms now.
Poor Jake.
anything better there in terms of options or?
Yes, there are a few emerging options here. So for toothpaste tubes, actually Unilever and Colgate, they are both developing tubes made from a single material, so just from polyethylene, with none of the aluminum, you know, the sparkly coating.
Sorry, aluminum? What's
aluminum, perhaps?
Aluminium. Okay, aluminium, yeah.
And that is more likely to be recyclable because it is this single plastic that is really commonly recycled. You do need to double check with your local facility because sometimes, you know, the shape of the product can be a problem, but the fact that it's made from a single material is awesome because honestly you don't need those other things. Like, why not just make it out of polyethylene? There's also options for toothpaste tablets. These are like little tabs you actually just chew.
Oh, that's interesting.
Rather than having to squirt it out of a tube.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of companies that are starting to do this. Some of the big ones I saw were Bite, Chew Tabs, Lush. And basically you just get a jar full of these tubes and then you can refill your jar with more of the tablets.
That's interesting. Just on the, to go back to the toothpaste tubes, how would you know that you were buying a toothpaste tube that was made out of, you said HDPE, right? How would you know?
High density polyethylene, HDPE. I have actually bought this. I think it came from Colgate. It is labeled, and B, it won't be shiny, so it'll probably just be white,
okay,
with maybe some labeling on it, but it's not going to have that shiny metallic look to it,
which is really something we can all do without, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, that's we don't need to have shiny toothpaste holders, tubes.
Exactly, it's just in your cupboard anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, if you kind of can check on the side, it will be clearly labeled as HDPE or what? Do you know what the number would be? Sometimes they have the numbers.
That'll be number two.
Number two. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. What about floss? I mean, I can't. Is there anything more sustainable for floss? Surely not.
Floss is a little bit tricky because, you know, you need that fiber and having a strong natural fiber is sometimes a little bit tricky. There are some companies making floss out of bamboo, so again, that can be a good option because it'll biodegrade. There are also companies making it out of silk. So
silk,
yes, which I have kind of mixed feelings on. Yes, it's biodegradable, but silk production is really energy and water intensive. It's also not vegan. So there's kind of a few issues on that side. I would probably lean more towards the bamboo side. But in addition to that, several companies are doing refillable packaging. So like the little plastic container floss comes in, that's not recyclable either, just because it's too small and usually not of the right material. So like, for example, I have like a little metal tin and I just buy refills to go into it. So I don't have that extra plastic packaging on the outside. So those are kind of your options with floss. It's, I'd say, a bit trickier than some of the other items we've looked at.
Is that the floss made of bamboo? Is that, that's biodegradable, right? Obviously.
Yes.
Is that the same thing though you'd have to do with the toothbrush where you'd have to bury it, or?
Yeah, so it'll be the same sort of thing. It'll probably degrade faster just because it's smaller. Mm. But you would want to do the same thing where you either home compost it or bury it and don't just throw it in your trash.
Okay, got you. Okay, so a complicated picture with some of these. It doesn't seem as simple with kind of tooth care products as some of the other things we've seen. It seems a lot more complicated in terms of the options.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I think it kind of reminds me of face masks in a way, because you have this sometimes conflicting priorities between the health benefits it can provide versus the actual end-of-life disposal. So I think there are things going in the right direction in terms of minimizing materials, developing like reusable options, but yeah, it's just, I think it's a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, that sounds tricky. And I suppose that brings us on nicely to doing the green score, right?
Yeah. So I'm gonna ask you first, Jake. So for our first green score, the one about how easy is it for us as individuals to make sustainable choices about tooth care, going from black being the worst, gray in the middle, all the way up to lime green as the best. What do you think we're at right now?
I think it's somewhere gray, I think, because, well, it's very obvious you buy a bamboo toothbrush. That's great. Although I have to admit, I haven't really looked into it, so I don't know if they're super common in the supermarkets, for example. I'm guessing that they're not right now.
They're increasingly more common. Okay. So I bought mine at, like, there's a big Tesco in Cambridge. I bought some there. Went to Target here in the US. They have a couple options.
Okay, fair enough. But I still think there's probably a prevalence for plastic-based ones. So, but that seems an easy choice. But I think it seems quite difficult with the toothpaste and the floss. The toothpaste, I mean, it's a time issue, isn't it? You're rushing around the supermarket. Are you going to be able to look at each one to see if it's HDPE? It's usually in a cardboard packaging anyway. I'm sure it'll be labeled, but I bet you that that's not that clear. And obviously floss, sounds like even if you go down the bamboo route, it seems like it could be better, but it seems more complicated. So what I don't want to be negative, I think actually the biggest thing that I will take from this is when my things have run out, I'm going to switch to a bamboo toothbrush, which I think is a great change. But I'm probably going to say gray, I think. What about yourself?
Okay.
What do you think?
I think I'll mostly agree with you, but I'm going to go a little bit more negative. I think it's brown, which, you know, is between black and gray. Because as you said, it's not obvious. It's hard to judge these things just by looking at the packaging in a supermarket. And as you said, I don't want to spend like 20 minutes Googling stuff on my phone trying to find the right thing while I'm in Target. So I think we have touched on a few things you can do. You know, you can look for bamboo, look for something that's labeled ethically sourced. You can look for non-shiny toothpaste tubes, things like that. But again, it's a bit opaque, I think, this particular area.
Yeah, I think opaque is the right word. It's not as clear as some of the places, as some of the other products that we've looked at. And it's also not clear that even if you make the change for some of them, how much the difference really is. But okay, what about the next green score? What do you think about making the change, the difference it can make?
Yeah, in terms of the wider environmental impact, I'm kind of torn on this one, to be honest.
It's complicated, this one, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I'm still going to go positive. I'm going to say forest green, which is our like first level of decent. Just because we've seen how much CO2 emissions are associated with the plastic production for making toothbrushes, for example, and how much landfill space has to go towards the disposal of these materials, and how some relatively simple changes, so using more environmentally friendly materials like bamboo, more decomposable things, using items that just have less material in general, that's always going to be a good thing. Anytime you can use less material is always good. So I'd say it can definitely help with reducing waste, reducing pollution entering our oceans, and also with the emissions associated with producing materials. But in terms of, is that going to make a huge change towards addressing climate change? I'm not so sure.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think what do you do if you mix gray and green? What do you get?
I don't know.
Can we do that?
Weird, muddy.
Green. That's probably how I'm thinking my mind right now. But I'm probably going to go for a screen with you just because of the pure volume of stuff that we use. Just because of how much we use, any change is going to make some impact, right? And that those statistics you gave about, you know, kind of wrapping around. I mean, four times if it's just the States. I mean, if you put all the countries together, it's God knows how much it is. So anything that can cut that. In terms of whatever you're using is biodegradable, naturally biodegradable, has got to be better than nothing, right? So same with the toothpaste ones, actually. If they're able to eventually enter normal mainstream recycling, that would be a fantastic win, although obviously it seems still pretty unclear. So I think changing a toothbrush tomorrow, I'd say forest green. I think it makes some difference. It's not ideal. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if people are working on some sort of biodegradable nylon. Who knows? But it's a change, isn't it? But I agree with you in that, well, the floss, that sounds really complicated, to be honest. The toothpaste sounds like it's going to be a while before that's rolled out. So those are quite difficult choices to make, I think. But the toothbrush is a change you can make. And just because of the pure volume, it's something, right? It's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like any small step, we have to take them now. You know, we can't keep hoping for that silver bullet that's going to fix everything.
Yeah.
I guess one thing I do want to, just as a reminder to our lovely listeners, I'm not saying like throw away all of your tooth care stuff now and buy bamboo toothbrushes and refillable floss and toothpaste tablets. You need to use up the stuff you have now first. So don't just go throw everything away. But maybe next time, once you're ready to refill, think about making a couple of these small changes.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'm going to wait till my bristles are horizontal before I get rid of it.
They sound like they're pretty horizontal.
then I can turn the toothbrush kind of sideways. So it's amazing how creative you can get. So you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. My dad is, you know, he's vegan. He's extremely environmentally conscious. And even he was surprised. So anyway, but yeah, I agree with you, you have to kind of reuse your stuff first and then change, right? So, okay, cool. Well, look, I mean, that's a really interesting insight. I've learned a lot from it, Taya. Thank you very much for kind of talking us through it today, and actually some really interesting facts as well, which is awesome.
Yeah, of course.
So next up, we'll have menstrual products. So we're going to be looking at, and obviously, Taylor, you're going to be leading this one because obviously as a man, it's not up to me because I'm not affected by it to kind of lead that conversation, but we're going to be kind of looking into that. And Taylor, you'll be kind of leading that with looking at different options, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. Once again, really appreciate all your support out there. Hope you have an awesome day, evening, week, wherever you're listening to this, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.